Hello and welcome to The Culture Brokers, stories from 1.5 generation immigrants. In this series, we explore the unique experiences of individuals who immigrate to a new country before adolescence. Each episode will discuss different themes relevant to this demographic as they navigate through life while trying to understand what it means to belong to different cultures. So this weekend, I took my parents to the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, right? Wow. I told you about that. And it was just a surprise. And that's classical music is something my dad really enjoys. I was like, great. It's one of those things where I feel like I don't want to generalize too much, but I feel like for first generation immigrants to be that integrated enough into Canadian society where they're like seeking out cool new arts events mm-hmm. is a little bit more rare mm-hmm. than like people who've been born and raised here. So I thought this was a great opportunity to like connect something he really like is passionate about, which is classical music, to something related to like integrating himself into like a community that he doesn't usually interact with. So I bought them these tickets, and we go to the event. It's on Sunday afternoon. Everyone is super, super old and very, very white. And my parents live in Richmond Hill. They're Iranian. They do not interact. Most of their friends are Persian, if not all. So generally, they don't interact with non-Persians
right.
that often. And I could just see they stood out so intensely from the crowd. It was really funny and cute. And the whole experience was great. They loved it. They enjoyed it so much. The only moment, though, that was suddenly sort of like this like huge, you know, one of those moments that I feel like come with being an immigrant where like we've talked about this before, where something happens and it catches you off mm-hmm. guard and it just like changes the direction mm-hmm. of your thoughts and your energy and your like understanding of the space that you're in. So my mom there's an intermission and we're all coming back into the auditorium and getting seated. But my mom and dad were seated in the row in front of me, and they had to pass through a bunch of people before they got to their seat. And obviously, just like a very naturally anxiety-inducing like experience for anybody. That being said, I noticed my mom. First of all, I noticed people not getting up properly, which was bothering me. I recognized some people were just like literally too old to like easily move, but some others were not. And maybe I was just already in this like, you know, confirmation bias sort of state of mind, but like territorial over my family. But it was like bothering me that like a couple mm-hmm. of them weren't getting up and like kind of like looking at them as of like struggling to get through. But I also noticed my mom being extra apologetic. Like, I know how she is. I know her personality type, and she's a polite person, but that was too much for even her. Where right. she's like constantly saying sorry as she's walking through, and sort of just like I could see the anxiety and the stress on her face. And I was just like, it's just such a funny moment, and that has so much to do with my personality and my mom and like our dynamic and stuff too. But I just like kind of was like that's okay, like don't apologize, just it's a tight space. And people, you know, she gets by and she sits down and the concert starts. But I just go into this like thing that I get into. I wasn't upset or like frustrated or anything. I just started to think about that a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, I was like, it almost up until that point, even though it was like from the second we got there, it did feel sort of like out of place. I really don't think I noticed another visible minority in that crowd. But up until that moment, it was just sort of an observation. It was just sort of like fun and games. And we were here for the concert anyways. And it was like we were here for the experience.
Right.
But when that happened, maybe it's based on like I said, it's not like negative confirmation bias, or maybe it's based on previous experiences that I've had, but I felt like that is a little bit more of like a like overt way of somebody claiming their space versus somebody else mm-hmm. having just as much of a right to be there in that environment or not. And then also that immigrant kind of like apologetic nature mm-hmm. where they kind of want to be like they're like extra careful not to draw too much attention to themselves, which I feel like is all like everywhere. And yeah. I'm sure anybody with like maybe themselves or like their parents or the loved ones like has experienced that at one point or another. But then it started to make me think how everything to do with your immigrantness and your otherness has to do with your comfort and your like approach to claiming space. So that's really ambiguous. But what I mean by that is that I think about when my parents are and I are visiting back home when we're in Iran, or when they're in a really immigrant rich neighborhood, or very you know, the like popular local Iranian plaza in Richmond Hill in North York, and the way I've noticed them and others interact in that space, the way how loud maybe they are, how much room they allow their personalities in those, you know, interactions, versus when they're suddenly out of their comfort space. Maybe they're, you know, at a concert like this, maybe it's at like the bank or something, which is like, you start to notice whether they feel entitled to doing it and being there and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I feel like how that's really like relevant to our conversation of 1.5 generations is that I have a point of reference. Like, I know what they can be like back home. I know what they can be like in environments where they're comfortable in. And then I know what they're like when they're not. Or like, to flip that around, maybe I know what my growing up, I knew what my friends and their families who were Canadian, first gen, or like, you know, like several like generations on, they've been here, and I know how they would go around doing the most like simple tasks, or like ordering food for everybody, or taking everybody to like some sort of a amusement park or something, and just like how they went about like getting things done, then contrasted to the way my family does things. And to me, I feel like that in-betweenness really, like, a lot of times starts from that moment, because you get to access both of these spaces. You get to observe the variability of people's, like, just, you know, their sense of entitlement, to be blunt about it. And over the years, you also start to understand the depth of that and what that means and why it's been important and why you've been noticing it. Because the truth is that a lot of things, whether it's like very shallow stuff, like just like day-to-day like transactions, or if it's much deeper, you know, like interactions, like how you engage with your politics, how you engage with your civil like society, your local constituency office, all that kind of stuff, your health, you know, care providers, these are this how open and confident you are can have really deep consequences in the workplace. Definitely. I guess maybe that's even the most important one, because in a sense, because how you know, a lot of the times how far you get to go and how protected and well you do professionally has to do with whether or not you're able to kind of like take care of yourself, protect yourself when it's necessary. So I feel like, I don't know, there's just so much to be done there. There's so much to be talked about there to close that gap. And I don't know precisely how, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it too. I feel like 1.5 generation immigrants have so much to do there, because you can be the ones who understand both sides and kind of like identify the gaps.
Wow, that's so interesting, because that one moment of recognizing that, like seeing your mom going through that aisle and her saying, excuse me, like that you can unpack so much from, because there's obviously a gender layer to this, and there's obviously this idea, like, you know, but there is a huge immigrant lens to this. And it reminds me of how my parents behave when you, and like what you said, like in spaces when you're comfortable versus spaces that you're not comfortable in, us being the 1.5 generation child who in this case has that point of reference, like you said, to know you're here, you're like, I know when you're comfortable and I know when you're not comfortable, and I can tell what the common denominator of changing your behavior is, and it's to accommodate the space, right? And the audience of the people that you're sharing that space with, I should say. And obviously in a situation where like the Toronto Symphony or in any predominantly white space, anyone in that that's a visible minority in that situation will feel othered. And then you add this layer of being like an older immigrant, and you're suddenly a lot more apologetic by just existing. And it's really sad because, you know, everyone in that space, in that situation, like, they're all clients, everyone's paid for the same thing, right? Presumably you're there because you enjoy what you're about to see. So everyone should be, it's one of those things where, like, music should bring people together, yada yada. But it reminds me of, like, my mom and my dad, who, it's funny because all the things you're describing and the perspectives that we have, and because we're in between, we talk about this all the time, but we're in between because of who we come from and where we come from. But as much as we're in between and we're cognizant of all the ways that we don't fit in sometimes, we also have this sense of, we have that privilege because of the Canadian part of us that has been conditioned to learn that, and we've learned that on our own, that you need to be XYZ to assert your space and to kind of, like, command that respect. So we do that more than our parents do, for sure. But at the same time, when we do it, we're almost, like, cognizant that I'm doing this thing, I'm, like, exercising this power to, like, deliberately and, like, consciously and with intention. When I went to this cottage one time, I'll never forget the story. I don't know if I've told you the story before. It was when I went to this cottage. Where was it? It was, like, I don't know. It was near Kingston. So it's already, like, we're already going into a funny little path. But, like, super cool, super nice guy. He came and got us from... He got us from this dock. He took us to his Airbnb. It was him and, like, his partner, and they were the B&B hosts. And he seemed like the average Canadian, nice white, older white guy. And I remember one of the nights he asked if I wanted to get, like, a bonfire started. My immigrant ass has no idea how to start a fire, like, live on someone's property. So I was like, sure, please, you do it, so I'm not gonna, like, burn your property down. So we got this fire started, and then when I went out to sit, unfortunately, he was there, like, sitting there. So I sat next to him, and, you know, right away, obviously, he was like, so where are you from? Or, like, you know, like, kind of like, what's your story? So I was like, it's that question, because you're like, okay, I don't know, where do I start? And so I actually gave him the whole spiel. I was like, well, you know, I was born here, my parents were from here, came to Canada at the age of 5, right? And he's like, well, then you're Canadian. And he, like, just told me that. He's like, well, then you're obviously Canadian. And I remember, like, I remember feeling like, okay, he's well-intentioned in what he's saying, because he's trying to make me feel better by being like, obviously, if you were from here 5 onwards and you've pretty much grown up here, then you are as Canadian as mm-hmm. it gets or whatever. But by, like, giving me, like, the privilege of wearing this, like, you know, conferring this title of identity upon me, it was, like, validation from a fellow white Canadian man who'd been here for multiple generations, telling me, okay, you can be Canadian, but I can't wear that the way, with the ease that you're telling me to so confidently right now, because 20 seconds ago you just asked me where I was from. So if I was Canadian, you would not have asked me that question, right? And you telling me I'm Canadian doesn't make me feel any more Canadian, because I just told you that I'm actually was born here and my parents were from here, and they do have an influence as how I perceive myself belonging in this country. And I remember we just had, like, a really, like, uncomfortable ass conversation on the whole thing, because it just got really problematic. He was talking about, we started talking about refugees and, like, all this other, it just took a whole new turn. But I remember that moment because I was like frustrated by it, and I couldn't articulate in that space, because he was right next to me. I'm on this, like, literal island with you, and I'm staying on your property. So it was, like, an uncomfortable situation. But I remember thinking, like, those are the times that you hear someone who can both tell you that you have the right and to the same entitlement that they do, while still feeling othered and still feeling apologetic for that space. Because what he had said was, when I told him I was from Bangladesh, I was like, yeah, my parents are from Bangladesh. You know, that's where my ancestry is. He was like, oh, I remember a lot of immigrants coming from Bangladesh in the 80s. He's like, oh, man, I just made sure to do my part and always smile at them and let them know that they belong. And it's nice, right? Like, the sentiment is nice, and it's, you're not the worst problem to deal with right now. Like, amongst, like, the spectrum of racism and microaggressions, knowing it's a very deep spectrum and how intense it is at one end, but not recognizing also we are in, like, a global politic right now of that space. So I'm not gonna pick a fight with this guy who's like, you belong here, like, you're the friendly, nice guy. I'm not going to worry about you. But I remember being like, okay, but you're smiling at people to make them feel like they're welcome. You want, like, how is that, like, this understanding of the spectrum of where people can claim their space and who can claim that space and who has the privilege to claim that space and where do immigrants fall in that spectrum? It gets really, really convoluted. And there's times that you're reminded of how tricky it is because you can't even respond intelligently to really, like, nuance all these things. But, you know, when he told me something like, you know, I smile at these people to make them feel welcome, I think of my mom, and I think of my mom, who's someone that very much has told me, like, how grateful we should be to live here. And, like, I do feel that sense of gratefulness, right? Like, I respect this country. I live here. You know, I'm going to pay my taxes for the first time this year, by the way. We pay taxes this year, so that'll be fun. So, like, we're, like, fully, you know, after being students or whatever, like, we're in the system. We live here. We operate here. Like, this is a huge piece of my identity. You can get rid of it. But I almost disagree with my mom's very apologetic approach. And it's funny because it's like, even though my mom is a first generation and in a spectrum in a different place than I am, she still carries the same sense of in-betweenness, but just a lot less nuanced, I guess. It's a lot more like kind of black and white and gray coming together. Because my mom is the one that when we first came to Canada, I was in kindergarten, and at home we had to speak Bangla. Like, that was a rule in my house. Like, you're not allowed to speak any English. And I went to school in Toronto when I first came to Toronto, and my teacher went to my mom and was like, you need to start speaking in English at home with Tasin. Because, like, I guess my English, I don't know, was new to Canada. And my mom gave, like, this bad bitch response. She was like, I thought that was your job, basically. She's like, I have to speak. She's like, this is my native language. I'm going to speak it at home with my children. They're going to school to learn English, and you're teaching them English. So I'll let you do your job, and you can let me do my job when they're home. And my mom was really proud of that, because that's the reason we speak. Because when I went to Bangladesh for the first time, everyone was like, oh my God, you guys speak Bengali. It's this big deal because a lot of kids don't, right? And my mom's like, yeah, because in my house, it was a rule. So she's really proud of it. That being said, the same woman is also the same woman that will, like, keep her head really, like, you know, like, very shy sometimes when people ask her questions. And, like, she doesn't like to take up too much space. And just recently, her and I got into an argument because she was telling my dad, like, she was complaining about my dad and how just with his whole job situation. And she's like, you know, you should be really grateful that they let you pray, like, in the quiet room at work. And you should be really grateful that they didn't, like, she literally, I told you this story that day, and her examples were a lot more, like, ridiculous. Like, she was literally, like, citing violent examples. Like, well, people don't, like, beat you if you wear a hijab, or, like, they don't, like, come after you when they're not, like, actively discriminating against you, and they're not, like, bullying you. So, like, what's your problem? You should be grateful, and you should be so happy that we live here. I was like, Mom, like, how can you still have the same rhetoric of this much gratitude, like, to a point where it's at your own dignity after all of these years? You know, you've lived here for almost 30 years, and, you, like, we've contributed so much. You have two kids that have been pretty much into the system. You've been paying taxes as a family. You own property, you pay property taxes, right? Like, all the same things that make people qualifiers, I don't even know what the qualifiers are, of, like, Canadianness along the spectrum. We're from, like, newcomer status to, like, Canadian settlement or whatever. Across that spectrum, you guys are pretty far along by now, and yet you still carry this sense of, like, complete newcomer, stereotypical newcomer gratitude and, like humbleness and, like, this, like, unabashed shyness that's, like, funny to me, because it's the other part of you is also very proud of your identity. You're like, no, I'm not even down. I wasn't, like, she wasn't even supportive of me dating anyone that was non-Bengali, like, when I was in high school and beyond. Forget dating in high school. But, like, it's just funny because they carry both of those things with themselves. Like, they're conflicted, and then we grew up conflicted too.
That is so interesting, because actually maybe the one part of my story I didn't share is that my mom, I mean, I kind of like alluded to it. She's not organically an like extra apologetic person. She's a very outspoken person. If anything, compared to my dad, she calls him out sometimes when she catches him doing something where she thinks is too apologetic for his nature. And she kind of like reminds him, you know, like we've lived here for almost 20 years now, like should have more, like watch how that person's speaking to you. And that like, she has a lot of those moments as well. So it's not this like black and white, like, you know, division of they're always apologetic, they're always like feeling like outsiders, or and we have access to all this information. It's super nuanced, like everything we kind of really are trying to get at here, but because I guess that's just sort of the nature of not just integration, but that's the nature of microaggressions. It's that it's not easy to point at. And it's kind of, it's very like usually related to societal and sort of like social interaction dynamics, which is hard to pinpoint. But what I think is really interesting here is that maybe it's what the perspective that we have as people who have spent more time here and have developed some of our most like important formative years in this country is that we pick up on moments where, like, I feel like for my mom, and maybe like it's the same with yours, for our parents, it's easier for them to pinpoint very overt instances of racism, very kind of like easy to categorize moments where this is how they're going to defend their culture and their like boundaries. But what our generation ends up kind of being faced with is the really subtle moments, the really small everyday moments that might not seem significant in the overall sense of like how your life is developing, but our entire lives really has been about us picking up on how it's those small moments that really make you feel like you belong somewhere, or they make you feel like you're an outsider. And it's usually the like the accumulation of these incidents over a very long period of time that makes someone feel Canadian or feel, you know, like they belong somewhere or they don't. And I think like to go to the example that you were talking about at the cottage, you know, I've had those conversations with my family too, my dad especially. Like every time I've sort of like raised some issue that I've been really like upset about like an incident of racism in Canada, he talks about how, you know, back in like the early 70s, he did this like big tour of the U.S. with his friends, and he's, you know, already a tan person. He was even like more tanned because it was the summer then. And he was constantly mistaken for like, I don't even know, but like Mexican or something. So he, in his story, I don't remember, but in the southern states, he said a couple of times they wouldn't let him enter a bar because there was a sign outside saying, this bar is like not for, you know, colored people or something along those lines. And he always uses references like that to say, hey, well, like, just remember that you're not there. And like, I appreciate that sentiment, and it makes me happy that they think that they have that perception that they've like, they're happy with their choice of immigration. They came to a country where there's such a thing as freedom and equality and all of that. I definitely like that is something I want. That's a narrative I want them to like believe. That being said, I've had so many points of like discussion and argument with them at the same time where I was like, but it's not about that anymore. Like, you know, like we have a citizenship and we are Canadians and we vote. And even if we make mistakes, we should be treated just as kind of equally as everybody else.